We hope this explanation of God's word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com. The following sermon was given at St. Matthias Family Church, where Philip Jensen was senior minister.
Jeremiah chapter 50. This is the word of the Lord, spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, concerning Babylon and the lands of the Babylonians. Announce and proclaim among the nations, lift up a banner and proclaim it, keep nothing back, but say, Babylon will be captured, Bel will be put to shame, Marduk filled with terror. Her images will be put to shame, and her images filled with terror. A nation from the north will attack her and lay waste to her land. No one will live in it. Both men and animals will flee away. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah together will go in tears to seek the Lord their God. They will ask the way to Zion and turn their faces toward it. They will come and bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place. Whoever found them and devoured them, their enemy said, we are not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord, their true pasture, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Flee out of Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians, and be like the goats that lead the flock. For I will stir up and bring against Babylon an alliance of great nations from the land of the north. They will take up their positions against her, and from the north she will be captured. Their arrows will be like skilled warriors who do not return empty-handed. So Babylonia will be plundered, and all who plunder her will have their fill, declares the Lord. Because you rejoice and are glad, you who pillage my inheritance, because you frolic like a heifer threshing grain and neigh like stallions, your mother will be greatly ashamed. She who gave birth will be disgraced. She will be least of the nations, a wilderness, a dry land, a desert. Because of the Lord's anger, she will not be inhabited. She will be completely destroyed. All who pass Babylon will be horrified and scoff because of her wounds. Take up your positions around Babylon, all you who draw the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her on every side. She surrenders, her towers fall, her walls are torn down. Since this is the vengeance of the Lord, take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done to others. Cut off from Babylon the sower and the reaper with his sickle at harvest. Because of the sword of the oppressor, let everyone return to his own people. Let everyone flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock that lions have chased away. The first to devour him was the king of Assyria. The last to crush his bones was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will punish the king of Babylon and his land. I will punish the king of Assyria, but I will bring back to his own pasture, and he will graze on. I will bring Israel back to his own pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan. His appetite will be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but none will be found. For I will forgive the remnant I spare. Attack the land of Merathaim and those who live in Pekod. Pursue, kill and completely destroy them, declares the Lord. Do everything I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land, the noise of great destruction. How broken and shattered is the hammer of the whole earth. How desolate is Babylon among the nations. I set a trap for you, O Babylon, and you were caught before you knew it. You were found and captured because you oppressed the Lord. The Lord has opened his arsenal and brought out weapons of his wrath. For the sovereign Lord Almighty has work to do in the land of the Babylonians. Come against her from afar. Break open her granaries. Pile her up like heaps of grain. Completely destroy her and leave her no remnant. Kill all her young bulls. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for the day has come, the time for them to be punished. Listen to the fugitives, the refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance, vengeance for his own temple. Summon archers against Babylon, all those who draw the bow. Encamp all around her. Let no one escape. Repay her for her deeds. Do to her as she has done, for she has defiled the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men will fall in the streets. All her soldiers will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. See, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord Almighty. For your day has come, the time for you to be punished. The arrogant one will stumble and fall, and no one will help her up. I will kindle a fire in her towns that will consume all who are around her. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people of Israel are oppressed, the people of Judah as well. All their captors hold them fast, refusing to let them go. Yet their Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is his name. He will vigorously defend their cause, so that he may bring rest to their land, but unrest to those who live in Babylon. A sword against the Babylonians, declares the Lord, against those who live in Babylon, and against her officials and wise men. A sword against her false prophets, they will become fools. A sword against her warriors, they will be filled with terror. A sword against the horses and chariots and the foreigners in her ranks, they will become women. A sword against her treasures, they will be plundered. A drought on her waters, they will dry up. For it is a land of idols, idols that will go mad. So desert creatures and hyenas will live there, and their hour will dwell. It will never again be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, along with their neighbouring towns, declares the Lord, so no one will live there. No man will dwell in it. Look, an army is coming from the north, a great nation, and many kings are being stirred up from the ends of the earth. They are armed with bows and spears. They are cruel and without mercy. They sound like the roaring sea as they ride on their horses. They come like men in battle formation to attack you, O daughter of Zion. The king of Babylon has heard reports about them, and his hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped him. Pain like that of a woman in labour, like a lion coming up from Jordan's thickets to a rich pasture land. I will chase Babylon from its land in an instant. Who is the chosen one I will appoint for this? Who is like me, and who can challenge me? And what shepherds can stand against me? Therefore, hear what the Lord has planned against Babylon, what he has purposed against the land of the Babylonians. The young of the flock will be dragged away. He will completely destroy their pasture because of them. At the sound of the Babylonians' capture, the earth will tremble. Its cry will resound among the nations.
Happened very often. But when people go looking for new ministers, they have a committee of five people to go looking for new ministers, and you can always pick them coming looking for new ministers, because there's five men turn up at the church and all sit in a row together. And so they stand out like a beacon. However, those five aren't looking for a new minister sitting over there, because one of them is their own rector, I presume. And I take it, well, I with Richard Harvey, who's the rector there. They are? Good. No? Times when people turn up here, everyone's nice to them, which gives me worries. All right, Jeremiah chapter 50. We reach Jeremiah chapter 50. We tend to have a feeling of relief and good news, because we can see that the book only goes on for another couple of chapters. 52 and it's finished, you see. Mind you, verse 50 was fairly long, all 46 verses. Well done, James, you survived all the way through. Who's volunteering to read next week? It's 64 verses. These are long chapters, and so you think, will we ever get to the end? Just as we think, it's like running the kind of final straight in the 400 metres. You know, they are trying as hard as they can, but it seems to get longer and longer as each stride takes place. Well, the last couple of chapters, you think, will we ever get there? When the people would have first read the book of Jeremiah or heard Jeremiah preaching, they also would have been excited about the end in sight. But they wouldn't have been excited about the end of the fact that the series of interminable sermons are coming to an end. Their excitement was the subject. The subject is Babylon is coming to an end. Now that's a real ground for excitement. Let me show you why, but firstly give you a quick history background. Those of you who are newcomers with us then and feel like you now don't know anything because you've missed the first 49 chapters, these two points will put you in the picture, right? For those who have come every week, you can recite them with me if you like, because you should have picked them up by now. The first is that after the division of the kingdom of David and Solomon, after the division of the kingdom into 10 northern tribes of Israel and 2 southern tribes of Judah, the Assyrian Empire expanded, and as it expanded, it destroyed the 10 northern tribes of Israel centred on Samaria. It came down to Jerusalem and Judah, and it encircled Jerusalem, but it was not able to conquer Jerusalem. And so by the time of the end of the Assyrian Empire, Israel, the 10 northern tribes, was no more, but the 2 southern tribes of Judah and Jerusalem were still intact. But the Assyrian Empire came to its final end because of the rise of the Babylonian Empire. And so 130 years or so after the Assyrians had conquered Israel, the Babylonians came and destroyed Judah. The Babylonian Empire rose very quickly. It kind of took everybody by surprise. The good news of chapter 50 is it's going to end very quickly as well. And its surprise beginning was a surprise ending, really. Although, of course, with the wisdom of hindsight, we can always see it was rotten and was going to collapse. But Babylon came and sacked Jerusalem, took the people into captivity in Babylon. The Assyrians tended to scatter the people all over the world, and so there were Jews everywhere from here on in, wherever the Assyrians had been, or Israelites, I should call it to be more specific. The people of Judah, they were taken in bulk to captivity in Babylon. A group was left behind in Judah, and a group escaped down into Egypt. Now, it's the Babylonian conquest of Judah that Jeremiah was about. Jeremiah's on the Babylonian subject. And he is at the time when Judah is falling apart and the Babylonian Empire is going to come in to destroy it. He is there in the destruction of Jerusalem. And he is talking about what is going to happen in 70 years' time when Babylon is going to be destroyed, though he himself will not be there. Now, the first 19 chapters of the book of Jeremiah doesn't tell you who the enemy are. It's not till chapter 20 that Babylon is introduced as the agent in God's judgment. And it's not till chapter 25 that you're told that it's not a permanent judgment, it's only a 70-year judgment, because Babylon itself will be punished. Now, while the references to Babylon's downfall can be found in the rest of the chapters, the book is not about Babylon's downfall. Most of it's about Jerusalem's downfall and Babylon's ascendancy. It's not till you come to the very end of the book when all the nations are feeling the consequence of the fall of Jerusalem that you come to these huge chapters, 50 and 51, about the fall of Babylon. We've heard a snippet of the fall of Ammon, the fall of Edom, the fall of Moab, the fall of Damascus in the previous chapters. There's 7 verses here, 8 verses there, but now we come to Babylon, it's 2 full chapters. Because if the other nations were rotten, Babylon was the one who conquered Jerusalem. Babylon was the one who sacked the temple. Babylon was the one who stole all the precious items of the temple by which the people of God were to worship God. And so the real judgment is going to fall on Babylon. 5 things to say about this judgment. I'm going to change the order slightly, but we'll see it in a moment. The first thing is to say is that the fall of Babylon is going to be total. The destruction will be complete. Look with me into chapter 50. You need to get your eyes on Bibles here so we can see. Chapter 50, verse 3. A nation from the north will attack her and lay waste her lands. No one will live in it. Both animals, men and animals will flee away. Or over in verse 13, because of the Lord's anger, she will not be inhabited, but will be completely desolate. All who pass Babylon will be horrified and scoff because of all her wounds. Or over in chapter 50, verse 26, come against her from afar, break open her granaries, pile up her heaps of grain, completely destroy her, and leave no remnant. Or that little section in verses 35 following about a sword. Notice every sector of the Babylonian society is going to be destroyed. A sword against the Babylonians, declares the Lord, against those who live in Babylon, against her officials and wise men, a sword against her false prophets, they'll become fools, a sword against her warriors, they'll be filled with terror, a sword against her chariots and horses and chariots, and all the foreigners in her ranks, they'll become women, a sword against her treasures, they'll be plundered, a drought on her waste, and they will dry up for a length. Every part of Israel is to be destroyed. Verse 39, so desert creatures and hyenas will live there, and there'll be owls will dwell there, and it will never again be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah along with neighbouring towns, declares the Lord, so no one will live there, no man will dwell in it. It's interesting that Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild Babylon just before the war. It was his attempt to, because it's still the ruin of today, as this prophecy spells out for us. It's a total destruction. Second thing to say about the judgment on Babylon, the fall of Babylon, is that throughout the book of Jeremiah, you see what is reflected here again, that it is God who is at work doing it. He may be using armies, raising up armies to destroy, he may be using all kinds of armies to do it, even pagan armies, but the human warfare is used by God to bring about justice. God is punishing Judah by the Babylonians, and now he is going to punish the Babylonians by other peoples. So let's look again at the chapter. Chapter 50, verse 9. For I, God speaking, I will stir up and bring against Babylon an alliance of great nations from the land of the north, and they'll take up their positions, etc. Or again in verse 13, because of the Lord's anger, Babylon, she, will not be inhabited, but will be completely desolate. See, it's the Lord who does it. It's the Lord's anger. Look down to verse 15. Shout against her on every side. She surrenders, her towers fall. Her walls are torn down. Since this is the vengeance of the Lord, take vengeance on her. Because God is exercising vengeance on her, the nations are to exercise their vengeance on her. Or down in verse 18. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I punished the king of Assyria, who was destroyed by the Babylonians. Well, look down in verse 25. The Lord has opened his arsenal and brought out the weapons of his wrath, for the sovereign Lord Almighty has work to do in the land of the Babylonians. We must never detach the course of human history from the work of God. God is at work in the rise and fall of empires. Third point, the punishment that God is exercising on Babylon is for idolatry. Not much is said about the sins of Babylon, but two issues are raised. One, very briefly, is idolatry, not just idolatry, but the worship of false gods. There'll be more of the idolatry next week in 51, but here you see it. For example, in chapter 50, verse 2, announce and proclaim among the nations, lift up a banner, proclaim it, keep nothing back but say, Babylon will be captured, Bel will be put to shame, Marduk filled with terror. Her images will be put to shame and her idols filled with terror. Bel and Marduk, names of Babylonian divinities, they were going to be destroyed. It is the idolatry of the city. And so the idols and the false prophets in verses 36, 37 are going to be made to be foolish and to seem foolish. But the second reason for the judgment to fall is actually point E on your outline. I just want to swap points D and E. I obviously wasn't thinking too clearly when I drew up the outline. Point E, it really is the pillage of Judah. The immorality of the Babylonians is not discussed much. but their idolatry and false religion, and the fact that they destroyed God's people. That is the real issue that is at stake here. The Babylonians destroyed God's people. Now, it's a strange point. I mean, we can make it simply, but it is a complex point. Let me show it to you simply. Babylon attacked Judah. It conquered Judah. It attacked God's people. It conquered God's people. And in the attacking of God's people, it was attacking God. And therefore, God is now going to attack Babylon and conquer them. Look at it in verse 10. So Babylonia will be plundered. All who plunder her will have their fill, declares the Lord. Because you rejoice and are glad, you who pillage my inheritance. Because you frolic like a heifer threshing grain and neigh like a stallion, your mother will be greatly ashamed, and she will... It's because you've pillaged me, because you rejoiced and enjoyed destroying my city and my people and my inheritance, that is why you are now going to be destroyed. Or pick it up in verses 17 and 18. Israel is a scattered flock that lions have chased away. The first to devour him was the king of Assyria. The last to crush his bones was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I punished the king of Assyria. The Assyrians rose up and destroyed 10/12 of God's people. And so God destroyed the Assyrians. Now the Babylonian has risen up and destroyed the other 2/12 of the people. And therefore God is now going to destroy Babylon. Or again, verse 24. I set a trap for you, O Babylon, and you were caught before you knew it. You were found and captured. Why? Because you opposed the Lord. Or verse 29, summon archers against Babylon, all who draw their bow, encamp all around her, let no one escape, repay her for her deeds. Do to her as she has done, for she has defied the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And pick it up in verse 31, see, I am against you, 31, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord the Almighty. For your day has come, the time for you to be punished. The arrogant one will stumble and fall, and no one will help her up. The title of today's sermon, The Arrogant Meets Her Match. Because of Israel's attack upon God by attacking his people, Judah. Sorry, because of Babylon's attack upon God, because of Babylon's attack on Judah, God is now going to attack Babylon and destroy it. But it's a little bit more complex than that if you reflect about this chapter for a moment. You see, when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, Babylon was a servant of God. When Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, Babylon was doing God's work. God wanted to punish his people, Jerusalem, Judah, and so he raised up Babylon to punish Jerusalem and Judah. But now, Babylon is going to be punished for doing God's work, for doing what God had sent Babylon to do. You see it in verses 6 and 7. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountains and hills and forgot their own resting place. Whoever found them devoured them. Their enemies said, we're not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord, their true pasture, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. See, Babylon was given free rein to destroy the people because the people were sinful. Babylon was only doing what God had planned for Babylon to do. Now here you see the acute intersection between divine sovereignty and human willfulness. See, God used Babylonian sinfulness to bring about his just purposes of punishing Judah. I'll give you that sentence again. Ready? It's a complex one. Fast writers, here's your opportunity to take it down. God used Babylonian sinfulness to bring about his just purpose of punishing Judah. The people of Babylon weren't seeking to please God. when they destroyed Judah, they were rejoicing that they could put God down, the God of Israel, the God of Yahweh, who couldn't look after his people properly. In their hearts, they were willfully defiant against the God of all this world in their destruction of Jerusalem. But God was using their willfulness, their sinfulness, to bring about his plan and purpose, namely the punishment of Judah. You see it elsewhere in the scriptures. In Genesis 50 verse 20 is a classic. Genesis 50 verse 20. The brothers of Joseph had sold him into slavery in Egypt. Then Joseph, under God's providence and care, was raised up to be one of the kingpins in Egypt. The brothers, if you remember, had to come down to Egypt to get grain because there was a great famine, and the man they had to deal with was none other than their brother, who many years before they had sold into slavery, and they couldn't recognise him. Finally, he reveals himself to them, and they're filled with dread, as they should be, because they realise the one they tried to murder is now actually sitting as their king and ruler judging over them. And he puts them at rest and says, don't worry about it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so that many would be saved this day. God used the evil intention of the brothers to bring about his good purpose, the saving of the family of Jacob. Now you see it in Acts chapter 2 as well, even more classically. For God used the wickedness of sinful people to murder the Prince of Life in order to save the world. See, God is so sovereign that he rules over humans, not over humans as if they're puppets who have no will, over humans who have a real will to do what they want to do, a real will which is so willful that it actually can be in rebellion against God. And even though it's in rebellion against God, God is still using it for his purposes to bring about his ends, his salvation. You see the acute intersection between human God's sovereignty and human willfulness. So the Babylonians rise up to defeat the God of Israel, but the God of Israel is actually using the Babylonians to punish the people of Judah. And because they've punished the people of Judah, God is now going to punish the Babylonians for what they did. And that's what this chapter is about. The punishment of the defiant, arrogant Babylonians. There is another reason for it happening, and now I just return to point 2D on the outline, so that they will be an example to the world. And so chapter 50 verse 2, announce and proclaim to the nations, lift up a banner. Or again down in verse 13, all who pass Babylon will be horrified and scoff because of all her wounds. Or the very end of the chapter, at the sound of Babylon's capture, the earth will tremble, its cry will resound among the nations. That is, and we'll see more of it next week, I trust. Babylon was the greatest city in the world, the greatest empire of the world, and overnight it was destroyed. Let the nations take warning. For we tend to think that the world is secure. We tend to think the world and the empires and the kingdoms are there forever. But that's a very narrow view. You've actually got to avoid all history books to come to that conclusion. And no kingdom of the world is so apparently frail as the kingdom of Babylon, for the mighty ruler of the world was done away with overnight. Think how we were thinking, friends, 10 years ago about the Eastern Bloc. Russia, from our side of the Iron Curtain, Russia from our side of the Berlin Wall, looked like the evil empire, as one president put it, of America. The evil empire that was going to overthrow the whole world. And how quickly the whole thing collapsed throughout 1989, 1990. How quickly that wall came down in Berlin. How quickly the rust of the Iron Curtain showed that it was all huff and puff. The people behind the other side were starving. The economic power base was not actually there. And it all cut. Now, in hindsight, we could see it was rotten from within, but at the time, it looked like that warfare, that Cold War, was going to go on forever. And yet, how quickly God can move to dismantle. Let us take warning in it, how quickly he can move to dismantle us. But within chapter 50, there's another theme altogether. It's not just about the fall of Babylon. It's also about the redemption of God's people. Now, do not panic, friends. You've just turned over halfway on the outline, haven't you? You're about 3/4 to 7/8 of the way through the sermon. Just relief. Just give you a little help on your kind of feeling about timing at this moment. It's a long chapter, but a short sermon today. You see, Israel and Judah, God's people, are going to be redeemed. You see it there in chapter 50, verses... ...33-34. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people of Israel are oppressed, and the people of Judah as well. All their captors hold them fast, refusing to let them go. Yet their Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is his name. He will vigorously defend their cause, so that he might bring rest to their land, but unrest to those who live in Babylon. At the time when you're oppressed under tyrannous rule, like the Christians behind the Iron Curtain, you think there is no hope for us. There is always hope for those who are God's people. There is God. And God is greater than any empire, any ruler, any tyrant, any oppressor. And God will vigorously defend their cause. The people in Babylon are not lost. The people in Babylon are going to be redeemed. But it's more than that. It's God's people, because it's not just Judah, but also Israel. For them, this is a remarkable prophecy. It's not just that Judah is going to be rescued out of Babylon, but all the scattered Israelites from the Assyrian Empire are going to be gathered together again. So that Judah and Israel, the divorce that took place under Rehoboam and Jeroboam just after Solomon, the divorce that took place is going to be overcome. There's going to be a reconciliation between the two nations, so they'll come back to one nation. See it with me in verse 4. Verse 4, chapter 50, in those days, at that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah together will go in tears to seek the Lord their God, and they will ask the way to Zion and turn their faces towards it. They'll come and bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. The people of Israel were punished by God through the Assyrians. The people of Judah were punished by God through the Babylonians. But now both peoples who have been punished by God are going together to return back to God. They're going to seek Zion and turn their faces towards it. That's a reference to the idea that if you turn your face to the temple, then God will hear your prayer and forgive you when he punishes you. And you'll find it in the prayer of dedication of the temple in Solomon. That the reason for Zion, the hill upon which the temple was built, was that the people could find forgiveness. And so whenever you are being punished and driven from the land, turn your face back to the temple and pray there, for that is where forgiveness. And so both Israel and Judah are going to come back to God, and they're going to be bound together in what is called, verse 5, an everlasting covenant. For they have broken the covenant of Moses, they have broken the covenant of David, and God has punished them for it. Their sins have divided them and divided them from the covenant. But now they are going to find forgiveness. So pick it up in verse 20. Verse 20. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. And for the sin of Judah, but none will be found. For I will forgive the remnant I spare. No longer will there be sin in the people of God. Well, all this was fulfilled in history. About 70 years later, the Babylonian Empire was overwhelmed and destroyed with astonishing speedy collapse and devastation of military conquest. And Jerusalem was rebuilt by the captives and the dispersed, who were regathered into the city of God, and the whole nation of God's people kicked off again. But it is only in Jesus' death and resurrection that we really see the fulfillment of these promises. For it is only in Jesus' death and resurrection does that kingdom come which brings true forgiveness to the people of God. It is only in the death and resurrection of Jesus do we see the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, where people are in contract with God not only in this age, but in the age to come and for all age. However, in the book of Revelation, we find the image of Babylon falling taken up. The New Testament refers to Babylon a little bit, but it's the book of Revelation that really refers to Babylon and its fall, as we saw in chapter 18 being read to us by Jenny a while back. For in the book of Revelation, they're still looking forward to the fall of Babylon. It's kind of funny when you know that Babylon has fallen, so what are they looking forward to? For many people, the word Babylon becomes a code for Rome. And Rome was an example of Babylon, but it wasn't the only example of Babylon. It is just an example of Babylon. We'll see more of it next week. But Babylon stands for all the arrogant human government empires, all those arrogant cities, from Babel to Rome to Moscow, London, Washington and Sydney, all those who stand in defiance of God to rule the world without him. All those who will persecute and oppress God's people. The whole system of human arrogance that is picked up in the very first reference to Babylon, the Tower of Babel, where mankind gathered together with all their technology to invade heaven, make a name for themselves, and rule the world. God will never be overthrown by human revolution. And that's why Christians are looking forward to the fall of Babylon, as Judah looked forward to the fall of Babylon. And looking forward to it, I may say, with joy. For Revelation 19, the next chapter that we didn't read this week, but I guess we'll read next week, says he, dropping a hint to Derek. Revelation 19 is a great outburst of joy, of joyous praise to God that Babylon has at last fallen. For when evil empires finally fall, God's people released from oppression, then God's righteous kingdom will have come so that we can freely sing his praises forever, gathered around the Lamb Jesus and wearing the wedding gown that he has washed clean for us and prepared for us and that we are putting on. And next week we see more of it. But can I warn you to beware of contentment in Babylon? For we're the people who are looking forward to the fall of Babylon. When you live in a big pagan city like Babylon, you can get very comfortable. There's marvellous art and culture. It was a city of enormous civilization that ruled the world. And it was one in which you could make a very good living, even if you were Jewish. But if you are the people of God, you would look forward to the time when Babylon will be punished for its willful rebellion against God. You look forward to the time when God's people will be liberated from this fallen empire and where we will be able to live in a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwell. We say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.